Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
We're on the final message of our series, Head First, Leading Your Life by Leading Your Thinking. Today, I just want to deal with your BS. Because you have it. So I might as well deal with it. If the title bothers you, don't worry, we'll redeem it in a little bit. Why is it so important that we pay attention to our thoughts? Why would we give so much time to talking about it? It's just thoughts. It's just ideas. It's just pondering. It's just stuff that we consider. Sometimes our thoughts are random. Sometimes they're intentional. Sometimes they're just recycled, things that we've heard, things that we've watched, things that others have said. Thoughts come and thoughts go, don't they? So why put so much attention to dealing with our thinking? Well, here's why. The reason is this. Your thoughts become your beliefs, and your beliefs are what create your lifestyle. Your thoughts become your beliefs. And then your beliefs end up creating your lifestyle. That's why we're taking the time to talk about our thinking, to deal with our thinking. So, in other words, if we allow our thoughts to be at a place of just sort of acceptance of things or maybe even defeat it, and we're kind of like, well, that's just how family life is, you know? That's just how it is with kids. That's just the way it is when it comes to managing money. You know, that's just the way it is. That's just my weakness in life, and I just have to live. I can't really change. I'm just learning to cope with it. Don't think for a moment that your thoughts don't matter. Don't think that your thoughts are like neutral. Because there is no neutral when it comes to your thinking. Your thinking is always in gear, and it's always driving you somewhere. It's leading you somewhere. It's creating beliefs. It's controlling your lifestyle. Your thoughts matter. We can't look at the thoughts that say, I can't, or I'll never. It's just the way it is. You have to live with it. You have to fit in. You can't have it all. Compromises have to be made. I'm just not that good. We take all of those thoughts and we think, oh, they don't matter. No, they do, because those are the basis for building beliefs in your life. And your beliefs center around things like yourself. They center around other people and your relationships with them. Your beliefs center around God, what you believe about God, what he will, what he won't do, and your relationship with him. So now you're making decisions based on your beliefs, but they started with your thoughts. Start with your thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, our thinking goes from here down into here. We take it to heart. We hold a belief in our heart about life, about people, about God. And then what happens is we develop that, and then so is he. That's how we live our life. That's what's guiding our life. Your BS is controlling your life. Your belief systems. Hashtag redeemed. Okay. So today, I'm going to mess with your BS. All right? That's what we're going to do today. I'm going to mess with your BS. We're going to look at our man Gideon as we begin here. Belief systems. Gideon has a belief system about God and about what he could expect from him. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. Here's what it says. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash and Abizite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. These Midianites, these armies would come, steal the wheat. He goes in a wine press, tall walls, nobody can see me here, it won't get stolen. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, Why has all this happened to us? And where are the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. Gideon has a belief. He has a belief that God has abandoned them. But his belief was founded on his thinking. He thought some things. His belief system didn't just come out of thin air. It wasn't just random. It wasn't just his feelings. There was some thoughts that were put into this that created this belief that God had abandoned them. For instance, Gideon thought, you know what? We're not seeing the miracles that used to happen. You know, for instance, Israel had a miracle when they got brought out of Egypt and into the promised land. And, you know, God delivered them. That was awesome back then. But we're not seeing that right now. Those miracles, you know, they were for that time, but they're not for, you ever hear people talk like that? You know, those miracles in the Bible, well, they were for that time, but they're not for now. The last time somebody said that to me, I just began to list off all of the miracles that we've seen in our church over the last few years, because this is wrong thinking. But that was where his thinking was. Those miracles are for then, but we're not seeing that now. So I think God must have abandoned us. You know, we're praying for deliverance from the Midianites, but we don't seem to be getting answers to those prayers. And then, of course, he brings up the why question, which is a stupid question because it never has a satisfactory answer ever. It just doesn't. It doesn't have a satisfactory answer. So why even go there? Gideon has been thinking about this. He's rationalizing. He's figuring it all out. And what he's doing is taking him to a place of unbelief towards God, and a place of giving up on God having a sense of purpose and hope for his life because of his thinking. Now, here's the question. Did Gideon have a choice? You know, sometimes we get in these spaces and we're like justified. We're like, yeah, but look what I'm dealing with, man. I mean, look at the situation here. Of course I'm going to think these thoughts. No. Gideon had a choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. Gideon could have chosen to set his thoughts on, I don't know, say Deuteronomy 28, where it talks about the promise of God's protection and God's blessing and there being a future and all those things. He could have set his thoughts on the Word of God. Gideon could have thought about the fact that God has already shown himself to be a deliverer and then thought about that and meditated on that with the expectation that God, the deliverer, will deliver still. He could have thought that way. He could have went in a different direction with his thinking. But instead, what does he do? He focuses on his circumstances and then lets his circumstances shape his beliefs about the Lord. He looks at those things. His thinking is all centered around, here's my situation. It's been a long time. I still don't have a deliverance. Deliverance happened then, it's not happening now. We've been praying about this, we don't seem to be getting an answer. I guess God has abandoned us. That becomes his final conclusion. I guess God has just abandoned us. But here's my question. I wonder what circumstances you are constantly thinking about. I wonder what circumstance, what unanswered prayer request, what disappointment, what failed plan, what broken dream, what betrayal, what letdown, what pain from your past. I wonder what circumstance you find yourself rehearsing, thinking about, running in the movie of your mind over and over. And then here's my second question. I wonder what beliefs you have embraced in your heart because of your thinking about that circumstance. I wonder what beliefs have been established inside of you about your life and about your walk with God. But then I have a third question, that is this. I wonder if there isn't a scripture that speaks contrary to those thoughts and to those beliefs. Because if there is, then you got a way out. If there is, you need to mess with your BS with that verse. That's what you need to do. You see, whenever we have these thoughts, we have a choice. We always have a choice. We have circumstances that want to shape our beliefs about who God is and what God will and will not do in our life. But if we focus on the scriptures, it can change all of that. So don't go Gideon. Don't go Gideon and just think about your circumstance and then try to bring conclusions about what God will and will not do in your life because of circumstance when there's something else called promises of God that your mind needs to be centered around. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says this, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being," what? "Renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." What a crazy verse. It's a great verse, but it says, look, don't just look at what's seen. If you want to deal with this stuff, don't just look at what's seen. Here's what he's saying. I want you to look, I want you to focus now, get your attention. I want you to look at this. I want you to look at what you can't see. What kind of a request is that? Okay, everybody look at what you can't see. How does that manifest? What does that look like? To look at what we don't see. Don't look at your circumstance. Don't look at your problem. Don't look at how long it's been. Just look at what you can't see. Look at the unseen. Seems contradictory, but Hebrews tells us to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Word of God talks about us looking to or meditating on the Scriptures. And these are the promises of God. So listen. Looking to the unseen is looking to the fulfillment of God's promises in your life. It's looking and seeing, this is the unseen, but I have a promise that says this is how life's going to turn out. I have a promise that says this is how the circumstance is going to turn out. I have a promise that says this is what the future is going to look like, so I can look to the unseen. Why? Because I've got the Word of God telling me what that unseen is going to look like. That's how you look to the unseen. It's called using your imagination. Now, sometimes people are like, imagination, ooh, I don't know if that's a God thing. God gave you an imagination. Just because society corrupts it by filling their head full of junk doesn't mean that's what you should do. You should fill your head with the Word of God, and you should imagine those promises being fulfilled in your life. You should imagine God using you. Use your imagination in a holy manner. And we go through things that disappoint us. We have lots of opportunity to allow our circumstance to impact our faith. And when I say that, I mean our negative circumstance, the one that didn't go the way we would have liked it to. Quite a number of years ago now, I had a friend who was on staff here who passed away from a brain tumor. And there was lots of praying. There was lots of Bible verse quoting. I mean, we did it all. We did it all, and we did it all right, too, by the way. But it happened. And I can remember being in that moment and thinking to myself, I would like to take a Sharpie and go through my Bible and black out every verse about healing right now, because that's how I feel. But I realized in that moment that I had a choice, that I was either going to let the circumstance shape me or I was going to do something that would push back against that circumstance. And so instead of using a Sharpie, I used a highlighter and began to meditate on those scriptures, begin to put those scriptures in my heart. In fact, I had a CD series. It was like that thick. Guy talked real slow. And I began to listen to it. Just listen to the Word of God about healing. Just look at scriptures about healing. Just meditate about healing. See, I had a choice. I was either going to look to what was seen or I was going to look to what was not seen. And you know what? That was back in like 2007. And since then, we've had miracle babies. We've had people have all kinds of healings. I have a cane in my office from a lady who left it at last Easter's service because she got healed. Now, why is all that happening? Why? Because we're looking to the scene. We're making a decision. We're making a choice. We're saying, I'm not letting my circumstances shape what I believe God will do in my life. Instead, I'm letting God's word shape. And because you let God's word shape your faith and your belief systems, it opens up a completely different future regardless of your past. Amen. Amen. Well, Gideon, thank you for that golf clap. That'd be about as good as I get on a golf course too, by the way. Along with a lot of laughter. All right, let's move on. So Gideon gets called a valiant warrior, but look at his thinking in Judges 6:14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have, save the Midianites from the hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, Lord. Gideon replied, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I'll be with you. I'll strike down all the Midianites and leave none alive. Gideon has thought about his place in life, his status, his person, who he is as a person. He's given a lot of time to thinking about that. He's built a sense of logic about his reasoning. He understands mentally that he's figured it out, that he's an unqualified person. He's insignificant. He should not expect God to do too much with him. He doesn't hold a significant status. He doesn't come from a great family. In fact, his family is considered the weakest in the clan, and now he's the least in the family. So he gets it that he's on the low end of the totem pole. He basically has focused all of his attention on what he was not and forgotten what he was. He's still an Israelite. He's still a child of God. He's still one of God's chosen people. He still has his part to play in receiving God's promises. But his thinking was all centered around what he was not. What he was not. And it shaped his beliefs about his value and his self-worth, his identity, and his purpose. Your past can do the same to you. If you keep your thoughts on what you are not instead of holding them on what God says you are, it can do the same. You can be thinking, well, you know, I was not that great at school. You know, I'm not really from a wealthy family or influential family. I'm not even from a healthy family. It was dysfunctional, alcoholism, abuse, whatever. You know, I'm not very athletic. You know, I'm not very, very good looking. You know, I'm not the kind of person that gets invited to the parties. And, you know, when we allow our thoughts to focus on what we are not, it begins to shape our beliefs about ourselves. And instead, we've got to step out of that. Because if you keep focusing on what I am not, here's the deal. What I am not finishes with therefore. Any sentence that starts with what I am not finishes with therefore. So we go with, I'm not that valuable, I'm not that significant, I'm not that influential, I'm not that important. Therefore, I don't really believe God will do that much in and through my life. And yet all through the scripture, we can find people that if you were just average people, you know, that God used them in such a powerful way. God just showed up and was like, boom, I'm going to use you. There's this guy named Paul. Would you go pray for him? He needs to get his sight back and explain the Bible to him. You mean the one that's killing all the Christians? Yeah, that guy. Okay. Listen, here's the problem. When our value or our sense of self-esteem is low, we will live according to that belief that we have. And so even though God says, here's your potential, but if this is how you see yourself, you're going to have a hard time fulfilling that potential. You know, I want to use you. I don't see myself being used. I want to move through you. I don't see that happening. I want to answer your prayers. I don't think God's going to answer my prayers. I want to use your voice. I don't really have a voice. You've got to bring your beliefs up about yourself to the place where you match the potential that God says is on your life, rather than just focusing on the what I am nots and letting that bring it down to here. God says, why don't you get into my word and find out what I say about you so that you can believe about you the way I believe about you. Amen. I had a situation. This is a good example of this. Just a couple of weeks ago, super cold. I think a Saturday or whatever. I was taking my truck. I was going into Sherwood Park, and I went around, you know, one of these on-ramps to get on off of Highway 21 onto 14. At any rate, long story short, there's an SUV in the ditch, and I noticed people were still in it. So I pulled over and, you know, got talking to them, and they were young, and they didn't have a clue. They thought they'll just make a phone call, and somebody will be there in 15 minutes and get them out. And I said, this is going to be like hours, so why don't I give you a ride into Sherwood Park? So at any rate, we jump in the truck, and this person, you know, phones to make all the arrangements with the towing company. When she does, she has to give her phone number, and the area code was 519. And I'm like, oh, snap, that's the area code where I went to university. So we start a conversation. I said, 519. So where are you from? It's Kitchener. Cool. So what are you doing out here? I said, oh, I'm going to university, and explains everything she's doing. Okay, great. I said, well, I recognize your area code. I went to university in Waterloo. So we strike up a conversation. And she's like, oh, really? What did you study? I said, mathematics. Oh, cool. What do you do now? Pastor of church. Long story short, I find out this person has no church background whatsoever. And was able just to share with her about, you know, watching live stream. And, you know, and checking out, you know, Christianity by being able to do that. But here's my point. What if my thinking was down here when the opportunity was right here? You know, what if I was in that moment and thought, well, I don't want to bring up Jesus. I don't want to go anywhere. You know, that's really not me. God doesn't use me that way. I don't know what I would say if we get into that conversation. You know, all of those thoughts that can sabotage and bring wrong beliefs can sabotage the very opportunity that God could drop into your life. That's why it's so important we get our thinking in line with what the Word of God says about our potential and believe about ourselves the way that God wants us to believe about ourselves. Jacob goes and works for Laban. He works for him because he wants to marry one of his daughters. He works for him for 7 years and ends up marrying the wrong daughter. Don't ask me how that happens. Take that question with you to heaven. Then he works another 7 years, gets the daughter that he wanted. So now he's got two wives, kids, family. But this Laban guy is a character. He changes his wages like 10 times. So he's like, it's time to leave. I just need to get away from this guy. So Laban, when he knows that he's going to leave, Laban asks Jacob, he says, listen, what do you want when you go? What do you want? He says, I'll tell you what, why don't you give me every speckled and every spotted sheep, every speckled and every spotted lamb, or goat rather, and every black lamb. If you give me that, that'll be my wages, and you keep the rest. So they separate them, and he sends those animals off with his sons, and he continues to watch the flock of Laban for a little longer. But as he does that, he takes some branches, and poplar branches, and he peels the bark. And he creates these stripes. And then he takes these sticks and he puts them at the water trough where the animals are going to get water, and that's where they would mate. So he has them there so they're seeing this visually in front of them. And what ends up happening is these animals end up reproducing speckled and spotted sheep and goats. So they're reproducing those, and he's putting them away, and he's just building his stock by doing that. But there's a biblical truth out of this story that applies to our life, and that is this. What we meditate on gives birth to our belief systems. what you're meditating on. I don't mean cross-legged, you know, all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is continually going over in the theater of your mind. What we are meditating on is giving birth to our beliefs. That's why getting God's word into your thinking and into your heart is so, so important. Setting your mind, as the scripture says, on the things above, not on the things below. And so here's the question. What are the sticks that you've been looking at? What are those sticks? What is it that's been your meditation? Has it just been your current problem? Has it just been past failures and mistakes? Maybe you're constantly rehearsing the opinions of others. Maybe that's what rattles around in your thinking. All of that stuff builds belief systems in your heart about yourself and about how God will or will not use you. You know, I thought about this. I thought sometime in the future I should do a message series, and the title of my message series will be this: This Weekend Will Not Help You. That would be my title. Isn't that catchy? It's like, hey, I want to invite you out to what? We're doing a series. What's it called? This Weekend Won't Help You. Here's why. Here's why I would title it that way. Because so many people have spent 10, 20, 30 years in some mess going on in their life, and then they think, I'm going to come out to church and God's going to fix it in an hour. And I just want to say to you, this weekend will not help you. Or they come to church and they have an experience with the Lord where they're touched and there's tears and there's like, wow, man, God really touched my life. I am so changed. Wow. And then we don't see them in church until the problem reoccurs. Here's why. Because this weekend will not help you. You're going to have to build a lifestyle of getting God's word into your life, renewing your thinking, changing your beliefs, and making you into a new person. That is what's going to change your life. It's going to be as your mind gets renewed through the word of God. That's why a constant, persistent involvement in God's word, hearing the word of God from weekend to weekend, your own personal study of it, that is what will help you. That is what will change you. You know, the Bible talks about how the truth will set you free. What it'll set you free from is wrong belief systems that you carry in your life. And how they do that is you get set free as you continue to meditate on the Word of God. So, you know what? I have one more story. I'm going to skip it because I want to get right into these last four scriptures with you, because I want to get real practical about this. What does it mean to meditate on the Word of God? What does it mean to look to that which is unseen? Well, here's what it means. Take the promises of God and put them in the first person. Put them in the first person. In other words, don't just read it as a generic, general promise. Read it as your promise. Put your name in the word. See your name in there. So when you look to a promise like Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You know, it's great to read that scripture and be encouraged by it. But it's another thing to put your name to the verse. It's another thing to put it in the first person and say, that's me that God was talking about. That's my verse. I'm going to own that verse. I'm not just going to own the Bible. I'm going to own that verse. I'm going to own that word for me. Yeah. Somebody is looking at me. Can I do that? Let me give you permission. Yes, you can. Yeah. Do it all the time. You should do that. You should do that. There were verses of scripture that I owned when we bought our first building, and I was believing God for the resource to be able to do that. There were verses in the Bible that I grabbed a hold of, and I went, this is my verse. This is my promise. You said you would fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith. I think it's in Thessalonians. It says that. And I grabbed that verse, and I put my name, and I put a date there, and I said, that's my verse. I found my verse. This is my future. And guess what? It happened. You got to put yourself first person in the Word of God. That's how you meditate on it. That's how you look to what is not yet seen. That's how you see the fulfillment of the promise of God. So Maurice over here, I can use your name. Yes, I can. I know the plans I have for Maurice, declares the Lord. Plans. God's got plans. He's scheming some good things for you. God's got plans to prosper Maurice and not to harm Maurice. Plans to give Maurice hope and a future. That's what we mean when we talk about first person. That's how you own the Word of God. That's how you allow that Word to shape. That's how you look to the unseen, to the unseen. Anybody here struggling with some anxiety about their future? Huh? Yeah, you got a name? Catherine. I knew you had a name. Jacqueline. Is there a Catherine here? We could give it to you too. Sorry, say it again. Jacqueline. Did I get it right? Jacqueline. Okay. So, do not fear. Isaiah 41:10. For I am with Jacqueline. Do not be dismayed, for I am Jacqueline's God. I will strengthen Jacqueline and help Jacqueline. I will uphold Jacqueline with my righteous right hand. That is how you look to the unseen. Let's stand. We could go all day with this. This is so much fun. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much, God, that your promises impact our today. Not just our tomorrow, not just our eternity, but they impact, Lord, our lives. They impact our future. They impact the experience of life. We thank you so much, God, that you give us permission to look to the unseen, to realize, Lord, that you're fulfilling promises in our lives. And Father, I pray for all of us here, Lord, may we never look to failed circumstances and make decisions about our life and about you when we should hold fast to promises. And I thank you as well, Father, that we can see ourselves in every promise, that we can personalize that, and we can hold to that and watch you, God, move mightily in our life. There's another promise in Scripture. John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world, God so loved you, that he sent his only son, Jesus, that if you would believe in him, you will not perish, but have eternal life. And I want to give you the opportunity to receive that promise today. I want to give you the opportunity to respond, that maybe you're someone who's here who says, you know, I haven't surrendered my life to Christ yet. Now is your opportunity. I haven't said yes to Jesus being the Lord of my life. Now is your opportunity. And I want to pray with you right where you're standing. I haven't really been serious about walking with God. Now's your opportunity. I want to pray with you. With our heads bowed, how many here, I just want you, at the count of three, shoot your hand up and give me a wave, would say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. 1, 2, 3. Just give me a wave right where you are. Awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Let's pray with those who've responded. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross to pay for my salvation. I ask you to forgive my past. I invite you into my life and confess you as my Lord and my Savior. I'll follow you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.